My only visit to Las Vegas involved a change of planes. I was flying back from San Francisco to Boston, and I had a late night flight. So I remember flying across a pitch black desert. There was nothing there, nothing to be seen. And then, out of nowhere, a city appeared. A brightly lit city. Our plane descended over the famed strip. Aircraft taxied to the gate, and I had enough time to make it from one plane to the next. I couldn't help but notice that there, for my convenience, were one-armed bandits. I didn't need to leave the airport if I wanted to lose my money. I could just stay there. I always thought it was a little strange and bizarre, but gambling is at the heart of Vegas. It's why the city exists. It's why it was founded and built up. Now, about 20 years or so ago, the city fathers and mothers thought that it might be a good idea to diversify the economy. And they began to encourage businesses to come and set up back office operations. But there were folks in Las Vegas who thought that the city was losing its mojo. And one of them was a fellow named Oscar Goodman, who successfully ran for mayor, thinking that Las Vegas, if it was to be true to itself, needed to embrace its reputation for licentiousness and debauchery and loose living. And so it was during his tenure that the now famous slogan, "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas," was popularized. Well, you're all smart people, and I know you've already figured out that this motto was the inspiration for today's sermon title, "What Happens in Advent." Now, there may be some who feel that this is inappropriate, that a sermon title, indeed a church service, should have no relation to sin and debauchery and loose living and drinking and swearing and fornication and all the other bad things those people do. After all, we're upstanding, God-fearing folk here. We're Christians, darn it. Oh, wait a minute. We are licentious, debauched, drinking, cursing, fornicating, fallen sinners. Welcome to Advent. Maybe you thought that this was just the season for decorating the church, overdosing on Christmas music on the radio, drinking too much eggnog. Nope, that's not Advent. Advent is a time of preparation. It is a time of reflection and prayer to get us ready for the arrival of the Christ child. And to help set us on our way, the lectionary, the reading that is appointed by the wider church to be shared in congregations across the country, was the passage from Luke we just heard. I'm not going to wish you a Merry Christmas. It sounds like I should be wishing you an apocalyptic Christmas. There will be signs from the sun and the moon and the stars. The oceans will be roiled, the winds will blow, and the nations will be unnerved. This all sounds cataclysmic. It sounds like the end of the world. And here is Jesus preaching these words as his ministry is coming to a close. Indeed, this is his last public teaching. In the verses preceding today's reading, he foretells the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, given that Jerusalem had already been destroyed by the Babylonians, threatened by the Assyrians, occupied by numerous empires, indeed, right up to that day, was controlled by foreigners, Jesus, knowing that the Romans weren't particularly welcoming of rebellion and revolt, knowing that they had a habit of destroying cities when people engaged in uprising, really wasn't climbing out on a limb forecasting the destruction of Jerusalem. And Luke, writing this story, did it either in the years just before or just after the destruction of the temple. Our ancestors in the faith lived in an unsettled world where everything seemed to be falling apart. Sound familiar? Sound a little bit like the world we live in today? I wasn't kidding when I told you before I needed to hear those kids sing. I was blessed to participate in a life-affirming memorial service yesterday. But I'm feeling out of sorts. Because I look at the insanity in the world around us and I feel, my God, how did we get into the proverbial basket? And why does it seem pretty hot where we're going? I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent, I can find something wrong in the world and you'll nod your heads. Syria, refugees, climate change, dysfunctional government, corruption in politics, government that doesn't do anything, government that does too much. And then, as if to crystallize everything that just seems to be going wrong, we have the shootings in Colorado Springs on Friday. And what do? Throw up our hands in resignation? Can't do anything. Too many guns out there anyway, so why bother? Second Amendment, it's in the Constitution. If only more people had been armed. Of course, one of the people who died was armed. A police officer. Garrett Swayze. I mention his name today, and we're going to spend a few minutes reflecting on him. Because we share stories of the apocalypse in church, not because we believe that the world is coming to an end, but because, like our forebears before us, we are looking for a sign of hope. Apocalyptic is a form of scripture that arose in the centuries before Jesus' ministry. And it was a claim that as the world was falling apart, God was present. That there would be a new future unfolding. As Jesus preached those words, he wasn't foretelling the end of the world. He was talking about its transformation. The Son of Man will come and change the world. even though we will fight tooth and nail to stop any change. I bring up Officer Swayze because all too often when these outrages occur, the shooter receives all sorts of press and attention. I'm not going to dignify him with the mention from this pulpit. He is not worthy of our attention. But Garrett Swayze is. Garrett Swayze is 44 years old, native of Massachusetts. He trained to be an ice figure dancer. But life led him into law enforcement. And his colleagues said that he was the model cop, drawn to the work for all the right reasons. It was a vocation for him. But it wasn't the only one he had, because he gave his all to his church, Hope Chapel. And there he was, a lay pastor. Now, his congregation is evangelical. And their theology does not approve of abortion rights. But Officer Swayze, hearing of the crisis at Planned Parenthood, did not say, "These are a bunch of sinners, I can't go help them." No. He saw them as his brothers and sisters, children of God, just like him. And he went to protect his community. There are so many stories we hear these days of people being at odds with one another. As a culture, we spend so much time demonizing one another. I think of the amount of effort and energy that has been spent worrying about whether a terrorist is going to come into this country with Syrian refugees. Well, guess what? We've got American citizens who will kill us. And we can have discussions about policy and disagreements. But I think as people of faith, we cannot succumb to the temptation to demonize others. And it's not just the right that does this. If you've been following the turmoil on our nation's campuses, legitimate claims and desires for full inclusion have in too many cases crossed over a line to intimidation and abuse of people who may not share a particular perspective. We can shrug our shoulders and say there's nothing we can do. Or we can claim our vocation as Christians, as children of God, to work to change the world. It's easy to say one person can't make a difference. And if each and every one of us says that, we won't make a difference. I don't think Jesus is going to tolerate. I think Jesus expects more from us. Jesus believes in us. Advent is not Las Vegas. What happens in Advent is not meant to stay in Advent. It is meant to radiate out. It is meant to change us and transform us and reconfigure us, and then through us, our community, and through our communities, the world. We don't need 4 Sundays of Advent. We need a whole year of them. But we'll work with what we've got. So, we have a choice here. We can despair. We can give up. We can let the darkness slowly encroach and cover us. Or we can look to the light of the world that is coming to us, and we can prepare for it and be ready to embrace it. We can be Advent people. Remember, what happens in Advent should not stay